Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or if you're like us living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
That sounded gross.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Robin.
I'm Jamie, and this is the podcast where we talk about making non-traditional families.
And babies.
Yep, and all that goes along with
that. Well, and we've been talking about it for an entire season.
We
and
this sure have.
This is our season finale.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know, it's a little sad.
It is, but we're coming back.
We'll be back in the fall, though.
Yeah.
Nobody should be upset
by that.
It's
not like saying goodbye to Mary Poppins. You're never going to see her again.
What? Does Mary Poppins leave?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever actually seen that movie.
Stop.
I'm not kidding.
Shut the door.
I feel like I might have missed my window now, though.
You've never seen Mary Poppins?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
You're shaming me about it now.
It's really good. It's anyway, so you don't even know. It's devastating right. When Mary Poppins leaves. We're not really leaving.
Why do I want
to
watch
it? To take it back to us, we're not really leaving.
No, we're not. We're coming back in the fall, but we are going to take a little summer hiatus because moms deserve a summer hiatus.
Oh, yeah, we deserve it.
God, that'll sound weird. Hiatus. I was like Elvis there for a minute. Here's what I was thinking and Jamie was thinking. I don't know, Elvis. It's always Elvis. We were thinking we should do a best of round table. And Jamie had a fantastic idea that we should have some special guests for that.
Mm-hmm. We're bringing some real special people into the studio with us.
Are they, though?
Mm.
Just kidding.
They are.
Oh, my God. I'm just kidding.
They're so special.
Guess who's here? Yeah, our wives.
Our wives are back.
No. For now.
Dun, dun, wives. Dun.
That's so, Mary and I'm in trouble.
That's Mary and my beautiful bride,
oh,
Anne.
Don't suck
slow
up.
Down. You're slow down.
Is next to me. You know, because they've been listening this whole season and they, you know, Anne comes home on Monday and says, that was an interesting episode, blah, and then, you know, I hear a lot about it.
So They critique us.
They critique us and they also, you know, have things to say about the guests and
they have a lot to say, these two.
We wouldn't be where we are without them.
We also take care of the kids during all of this recording.
Whoa. That's true. She did take it there.
She took it right there. That's, by the way, that's why we have champagne at this session, because we want them to be happy.
Well, they're not watching the kids right now, so.
Yeah, that's happy enough.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're here, and it's exciting, because we're going to, like, you know, go through our favorite moments.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, it's not the ones that we share today are not the only moments we love.
Now
I just
you're
need to put
afraid that,
out that
we're
there.
Hurting the moments.
Listen, every single moment was special to me and to Robin.
I have to say that now one of my favorite moments is that you have protected things that I didn't even know needed protecting.
That's what
Jamie,
I
during
do.
This season.
That's what I do.
It is true. You are the protector of all feelings.
I am. I'm the protector.
I just stomp on them. It's fine. All right, well, let's get Mary and Anne in here. Well, they're already
here. I mean,
obviously, I just tried to fake it. It's stupid. They're here.
They're sitting here having champagne.
All right, well, listen, I want to start. I'm going to go with the first moment, if that's all right.
Please
with the group.
Do, Robin.
Wait, should we get feelings from Anne and Mary about how they think it went this season?
Yeah.
How do you guys feel? Try to be nice, because we have feelings.
You don't have to be nice. You can be
right. I'd like that. This is the one person I actually want to be nice, so...
She's talking to Anne right now.
I know.
I'm not sure what you mean by feelings.
There you go. No, like, what are your thoughts on this whole...
How
the season went and the podcast, and or your thoughts on having to watch the kids every time we were recording or having a meeting?
Were we a burden?
Well, they are my kids, so it's kind of okay when I have to watch them.
I hope so.
It's not really a burden. Or at least I can't call it a burden for
out loud
here.
Out loud.
I thought it was great. I mean, it's exciting. I've, you know, tried to share it with as many people I can, and there's a lot of great feedback from people I work with and other people that have listened. And it's exciting for something new to be out there that wasn't there. And
I feel
honestly,
like we set that up. I mean, that feels nice to hear.
Before this, I never even really listened to podcasts.
And look at what we've done
I'm
for
old.
You.
We created a podcaster.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I still only listen to this podcast, but...
There's room for others.
And the daily. I do.
Yeah,
I like
see,
the daily.
The daily's
news.
Good. Look at us. What's shouting out the daily?
What about you, baby, Mary?
I was just saying that it was like a year ago today, or not today, but like very, very close to right now, that it started out with a conversation, just very casual. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing to see mm-hmm. how far you guys have come, like that what you've produced and the professionalism of it, and it, you know, how interesting it is and funny it is. And I think it's incredibly impressive.
And we had lots of guests to fill the void.
We sure did. This has nothing to do
no,
with
we
us.
No, it's true. Well, so I'm going to give my first moment that was one of the ones, and it was early in our recordings because we, Jamie was so pregnant that we banked a lot of episodes because I was just like, how you feeling? Can we get two more in there?
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
Sorry. So Ray and Margie, who were Emma's moms, as mm-hmm. we like to call them, and the episode was called The Lesbians Who Paved the Way.
So we took the Bradley method of childbirth, mm-hmm. which those classes went on forever. And I would say they
what
went
is
on
the Bradley method?
I don't know.
I just remember having to draw pictures of my uterus.
Oh, I bet that was super helpful during childbirth.
And right. they were... very concerned that I should understand the father's role. And so I felt very awkward, and we would go for 2 hours, and I would say, breathe, breathe. And I'm not a good counter. And I was failing at the Bradley method. So one day they said, okay, we're going to separate the mothers and the fathers. And I just stood there. And they said, Ray, you're going with the fathers. And I had one friend in the group. He was Orthodox. Mm-hmm. And he befriended us, he and his wife. And they got us through the Bradley method because we had very common thoughts. And so I was so effective in the fathers group because I talked about being isolated, excluded.
Because you're the only father who was talking about his feelings.
That's right.
Right.
Do you know they asked me to become a permanent member of the village's fathers group?
Oh, my goodness.
So I have to say, like, when Ray was there, I did not say a lot because I was so... like, I just thought that Ray and Margie were so fantastic, and Ray in particular, just like, she was so spunky, mm-hmm. and just, I just loved her.
I remember loving Margie.
Ooh. we love them both.
Yeah, well, yes, but I mean, but there has been a theme throughout this entire season of every once in a while, there's always one that I'm like, oh my God, that's me. David Bitler was me.
I love that. That's so funny.
And it's you too, yeah, that one, you were saying that. But there's like several of them where I feel very strongly that of the two people, there's one that's very similar to my personality.
Do you thought Margie was more you?
I thought she was more me.
See, I thought Margie was more me because she was like very, like, she was very just like organized and moved the ship forward. Mm-hmm. And
I can see that. I can see mm-hmm. that. You know, Margie was...
She was a little more reserved.
Yeah, not necessarily reserved, but just like to let Ray talk and, you know, knew that Ray had things to say.
Exactly.
This is getting into some so very that makes dangerous sense territory
to me, to you guys, for you guys.
Yeah. Very dangerous territory. But like in that clip, her talking about, you know, like the moment where they said, "Don't," you know, I mean, "we're gonna, we need the women over here and the men over here." Just I just thought what the two of them went through mm-hmm. at that time, and when you take it out of context, like we still go through a lot, and there's. It's so much easier for us now mm-hmm. than what they must have had. Mm-hmm. So I just loved hearing the heritage of their story and how easily they took it.
Yeah.
That's why it was one of my favorite moments.
It was a good story. Ray was a good storyteller.
She really was.
She's a, yeah, we need to hang out with her.
You know. Yeah. I don't know that anybody wants to hang out with us. I mean, nobody's like invited us to any picnics.
We keep saying, I want to come over to their house. Nobody ever like it. Reaches out and says, you can totally come. Maybe that's a good leeway into one of Anne's
segway. You can do it. That's one of my favorite moments also is the fact that Jamie refuses to acknowledge the use of the word segue.
I said segue in many episodes.
Twice,
actually.
At least twice.
Leeway. Why do I say leeway? It's so weird.
I mean, it rhymes.
And okay.
It's ballpark.
Anyway, so great episode.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments, it just happened, so it's probably just fresh in my mind because you know my mind. I don't remember things so well. Patricia and Kellen, and they were on the Motherhood, Mindfulness, and Mother's Day episode a couple weeks ago.
We started with a turkey baster situation, which was a disaster. We didn't know how to do the turkey baster part, and so Kellen's literally has a turkey baster trying to
oh
baste,
my God.
And it's not coming out of the turkey baster. It's stuck. So she takes the edge off, and I blow, and it comes everything in my mouth.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
that's
all
amazing.
I want to say right now is you swallowed.
Yeah. Can you? I'm like, spit it back in.
It's still alive, I think.
I mean, it's like, oh, dear God.
So that's funny.
I was so disgusted by that story.
That's hilarious. If you hear, like, I was laughing so hard when they were telling that story that I could barely, like, get myself together to say anything. And then, of course, you had to say they swallowed, which I, you know.
Because
like,
that's, oh. I mean, it
you,
went
you
into
go
her
there,
mouth.
Though, Robin. You really go there.
This is, it went into ugh, her mouth.
That I'm disgusted with. But
also.
That was hilarious.
That sounded dirty.
And it's so funny that they didn't know how to do it. But they went for it, but they didn't do the, I don't know. Like they were like, we didn't know what we were doing.
They were like the opposite of Jana and Linda who like did a full research term paper on
right.
it. And then there was beeswax
the
and there was all kinds of things involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just, that story just cracks me up and like the mishaps that can happen when you're trying to inseminate yourselves.
I'm one of you talk about it a couple of different times and I'm a person that wants an expert to do anything and everything. I'm yes. not a, is it a DIY?
DIY.
See,
we are
exactly.
the same.
I don't even know that. You know, like, I mean, example, I walked into the doctor when I was pregnant. And I said, you just tell me what to do every day and I'll do it. She said, do you want an epidural? I said, do you want me to get one? And do you want me to get one, doctor? And that's.
Did yeah. the doctor say yes? I'm curious.
She was just, whatever you want. I said, no, it's whatever you want. And I just can't imagine trying something like this at home. I it's just. I can't.
But no offense to anyone that does.
No, not
more,
at all.
More power to you. I think you're amazing.
No, I wish, I wish I had a story like that. I'm like jealous of that story. I wish we had tried it that way at least once, just to see like how it would have gone down.
No.
You know, especially because you're gonna try to make it all romantic, and then you know.
My favorite part of that episode was Kellen. I think is her name. Is at the end, she really articulate something that I have always felt like, that I absolutely, under no circumstance, thought I would have kids, wanted to have kids. Never, when I was a child, thought I can't wait to be a mother. Mm-hmm. Never. I thought I would be divorced when I grew up. That was my story. Because there was nobody that was single, because I'm so old. There was like married people and a few divorced people around town. You know what they were.
I mean, I know what your mother said about them.
So it was like, that was like the only option. Like, I never once did I think, when I grow up, I'm going to have kids. And so it was like her really believing that, not was like that really, I really connected to that. Yeah. And then how much it turns once you have kids. And I think that, what that reminded me of when I was listening to it again was like all my fears of wanting to have kids, and all of them came true. Like everything that I thought was...
I'm like, did they?
Well, the world is ending. You know, it's like all of the catastrophic, the end of the world stuff is all happening.
But you're still...
That was part of it. But it was also, it was like what it was going to do to us and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was like... But it...
Could you maybe clarify that for our listeners so they don't think we're divorcing? Just that it would put pressure on our relationship.
It puts pressure on it. And it's also, it's like you, whatever attention you were getting, you don't get anymore. Mm-hmm. Or you get like in much smaller doses.
Right. I feel like I should have thought of that. I didn't even think about that.
Oh my God, that's all I thought about. So, but on the good side is that it was all worth it.
Yeah. I mean, that's really interesting that you really identified with Kellen and her story. And her
all of the ones that had that reaction, because I have the same,
and a lot of them did. One in the couple, not always,
not
but
generally, but there's many several.
I didn't think I wanted kids, and then and two, same thing. She didn't think it was possible.
I liked it a lot. I mean, I don't know Patricia Moreno well. I've met her a few times, but I know how important and how influential she's been in Jamie's life, and it's nice. It's always moving to hear Patricia talk for some reason, and I can't put my finger why.
She's one of those people that when she talks to you, you feel like she's looking through you, and she knows what you're thinking.
She sees you. That's why I always want hugs from her.
She sees you, but I feel like she knows what I'm thinking. I know. Like when she was looking at me, I was like, no, I'm working on my weight. But it was like she just has that way of just looking at you.
No, it's true. It's true. That's why you always want hugs. Well, I don't know. I always want hugs from her.
We did see a lot of your gurus this season. You have a lot of gurus in your life.
I have people that
you have like a team of specialists to make Jamie. And we most of them were on the show this season.
I'm good at seeking out help.
It's true.
I do that. But you know,
but sorry,
by the way.
You finished because I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, she was done.
No, I think I was done.
Oh, that was That was good. That was good. No, good job.
By the way, this is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and you just mentioned it with the less attention you're going to get when you have kids from your spouse. Nobody tells you when you're about to have kids that you're never going to spend time together anymore. Nobody tells you
that
you're going to have to divide and conquer, and so you never do things together. Like, I'll take this one to the birthday party, and you do this with this one. I didn't realize that I wasn't going to be with her anymore.
Two things. One, that does get better.
You're getting your teachy voice on me.
This is me trying to say, I'm holding my hand out to you saying, come out of the pit. That does get better. You just had a baby, and you should have someone tell you that. It does get better.
Absolutely. I will tell you that, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're here now, and it's no big deal.
Right.
But the second thing I will say, did you just thank Mary and not me?
I thanked you first. Oh, you were just talking over it.
We had to fly Sue in from San Francisco so we could be here tonight.
But the second thing I would say is I would disagree with you. Everybody told us. Like, I mean, we had a lesbian couple came over to our house and because there used to be, before we did this podcast, people would call and be like, how did you do it? Can we come over? And then we would make drinks and then we would like walk them through the process of how to make a baby. It was like we had five or six lesbian couples come over to our house to do that. And because we're just those people.
Depending on where we were, it could have been a really like, are you sure
not
you wanna?
Could have. There was this one couple that came over and we were deep in it with our hard kid. Shout out to our hard kid episode. We were deep in it with our more challenging child. And I was just like, I feel bad they're coming over. And we made drinks and the two of us were just sitting here like this. Well, you know, if you want to do it. But take like all the time before you do. But if you're gonna do it, you know, just here's you go to this clinic, and then you just so you get this.
Have you guys tried Costa Rica? You should do that
seriously, because it's over once you do it. Like we were
Couldn't have been
And they
more...
went out and got pregnant anyway.
Oh, well, yeah. They must have loved the vibe you were throwing down.
Then they got divorced. Oh. I'll probably edit that out.
Yeah, you should.
You'll have to. That's the other bottle of champagne opening. Did I scare you in?
No, I was ready for that when I saw
Did I make it?
Did you see her? She was
no, not at all.
Getting ready.
I was holding on.
But I've been holding it for a while. Okay.
All right, so that's...
And I know, I've been waiting. My glass has been empty for like...
I was trying to look for an opportune moment. Here, give me your glass.
So, Anne, it's your turn. Do you have a favorite episode or something you'd like to highlight, something you'd like to clarify?
Because I heard that there was one you were mad you weren't invited to.
Yeah, there are a couple I thought, like, my input could have been used there, like I was there. I might remember something. But I think the one where when Jamie has the baby, and
we titled it "Jamie Had a Baby."
Yeah, I was way off with what I said.
Went really deep into the title.
Good thing you clarified that, because people would have no idea what I was talking about.
By the way, can you just picture me at 5:45 in the morning, like typing it in and just being like this? Oh, fuck it. Jamie had a baby. That's the title.
No, go. I think it's all C-sections, epidurals.
Oh my, something like
and,
that.
And Jamie had
busted
a baby.
Up nipples.
Yeah.
We did talk demolished. A lot about your demolished nipples.
Yeah, I think, you know, with the breastfeeding that Jamie talked about in it, she had a really difficult time and it was really hard. And I think it was hard on both of us. You know, like we have a 4-year-old at home and now we have this brand new infant that isn't latching right. We have lactation consultant come in and we have tongue-tied surgery or laser surgery happened
and
for him.
And lip-tied. He had all 5 ties.
Yeah.
Wait, so lip-tied as well as tongue-tied?
Yes.
How do your Which lips we get
didn't,
tied?
I didn't clarify cheek-tied. This on the episode.
No, he was cheek-tied and lip-tied and tongue-tied.
What were
the
they
inside.
Tied to?
Tethered to the cheeks.
Like they're not separated?
They're called frenulums, I think. It's that little thing if you lift up your top lip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that little thingy.
That little thingy. On a tongue-tied baby or person, they're extra tight, and so it's
and
harder
longer.
For them to suction.
How many people do you think at home just lifted their lip up and
I know.
And then tried to find
everyone well, in this
because we all just did it.
The funny thing is, when we told my mom, she she started sending me pictures of everybody in my family's frenulums. Like she took a picture of hers and she sent it to me. I don't think mine is lip tight, but let me check your father's. And then she goes and she checks my dad's. And she says, send me a picture of yours.
We're like, no.
Like, Mom. But that's Sue. Yeah. So it was difficult.
Yeah. I mean, the breastfeeding, I mean, I breastfed for 3 months and then weaned off. And I used the excuse that work was going to be, it was too hard mm-hmm. teaching and breastfeeding, or I wasn't actually just
it
teaching
wasn't
at the time.
It was an excuse. It was true.
Yeah. So, but then with Jamie, it was so difficult. And, you know, like you have that one part where people say, well, no, keep him breastfeeding. Then you don't have to do the night feedings, you know, yada, yada. But like it was so hard. And it's that balance between saying like, quit, stop, it's done, don't do it.
Which
and
I do believe you said a couple times.
I did. Absolutely. Because trying to create that environment where it's okay, you know, like I
can't. No one else is saying that.
Right. And right. I see how difficult it is. And I see you getting torn up emotionally and mentally and physically. And mm-hmm. it just, I keep going back to, I constantly told her about one of my other girlfriends who has 4 kids and she breastfed all of them for maybe 2 days. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. her husband's a doctor and her kids are now 16 and 14 and healthy. And you
so
know,
it wasn't that was your position on breastfeeding. It was more you just wanted her to feel supported.
Yeah. You know, because
she was torn.
It's that balance of like telling her to stop, but
Also respecting
what
really
she wants
to do.
She right. really wanted to keep going and she really wanted to keep doing it. And but then seeing her break down and cry and the difficultness of it. And, you know, it was so hard to
it was
watch.
A very emotional and, time. And then also he had to have the laser surgery on all of his ties, which what mm-hmm. you know, you bring your how many weeks was he? Like 3 weeks? Mm. You bring your 3-week old to have them laser cut. Ugh. 5 places in their mouths, you know.
And then so you have to do exercises and stretches on it 4, 5, 6 times a day where he's miserable
screaming.
With it, screaming.
It's like hard enough to have a 3-week-old baby, let alone add all that into it.
Yeah, and then you're trying to feed him, breastfeed him. And she's
and
still
in.
And then you have another kid and a dog.
And our daughter, by the way, would what did she call it? Booby time? I hate booby time. You always do booby time. I hate booby time. Mom, don't do booby time. Play with me. Like, it was like a constant thing. Booby time.
Yeah.
She hated booby
because
she
just
time.
Got there and she was a little bit torn.
Right. And I was pumping constantly, too. So I was literally always, my breasts were just out.
Because he couldn't feed off the breast very well. So, I mean, she was pumping nonstop.
I have to say that I used that machine one time. Mary started to come in the door, and I started crying. And I said, get out of here. I don't want you to see me like this. Because it's like my nipples were like, and I just felt like a cow. And I was like, yeah, no, that's not happening.
I pumped in front of my mother. Like, oh, I was just, I because I had to.
I was just never going to be that person, and I knew it. I was just, I called it.
You talk about this in the episode too, like the Earth Mother thing and the connection, and you know, like you had a vision of where this was going to go. Whereas when I, like I said, with I was like, whatever you tell me to do. Like I didn't have like this. I didn't. She talked about the breastfeeding and making the connection, and I was like, are you connected to Rose?
Yeah,
you didn't breastfeed her. Yeah. Like she's good. I'm not worried about connecting with Orion. Like the lactation consultant though came in. And no judgment on anyone that does this. I think this is fabulous.
God, it's a family trait.
But the lactation consultant is in our apartment, and she's talking to Jamie and myself about it, and she's you know, going through the things, and then she looks at me, and I'm a fairly private person. I don't know if that's the way, or I don't talk about.
You don't like to talk about your feelings.
Top on when she was there. Yeah, I was fully clothed, but the she looked at me and she said, "So have you tried?"
Wait, what?
And I'm like, no.
Oh, she wanted you to do that whole thing.
Why would I?
No, like actually, no. I think maybe she was talking about the tube thing.
I don't. But she didn't say a tube thing.
No, because you can
stimulate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, no, it takes some I haven't. Are you interested in trying? I'm like, no. And then she left, and I'm like, what? No, I don't want to. I don't need him to suckle on my breasts. Like, no.
Does it feel creepy,
or is it just you hated it the first time around?
To me, it just. Why would he suck on my breast to not get any milk? Like, I don't
understand.
Well,
you can take something that would make milk.
Yeah, beer. So
because what were they called?
I don't know.
It's like a wet nurse.
Wet nurse, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, so wet nurse is like...
But I would have to stop drinking.
See, now we're getting to the real thing. Getting to the thick of it. I was very similar to Anne. I had no... you know, skin in this game. It was like, if you wanted to do it, I would have supported you and been like, let's get lactation consultants in here, whatever it is that you needed to do. But if you were like, I hate this, I want to quit. I was like, sweet, let's quit right now. Like whatever you wanted.
I believe that is what I said.
And I believe I said, great, then let's stop. I did not give you a minute of, I don't think.
No, you were very supportive.
Yeah. Like I wanted Jamie to stop.
Yes, I know that was clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was clear.
For you, though, but for you.
For her.
Yes.
For her mental state.
So, Mary, baby, what was one of your moments from the season?
One of my favorite episodes was Lisa and Jennifer talking the cancer story, I think you called it, or I don't remember exactly what it was called.
It was just a stoniness in the face and a level of fatigue and with all the hair missing that is just, I wouldn't have been able to describe it except seeing it again. It's like, oh. So there's just a lot.
How do you make a right turn out of that into now seems like a really great time to bring a family into the world, like a baby?
Well, it was also just like, come on, can we get on with our lives?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You want to like embrace life.
Yes.
And
so did you have to be the one to say it? Or was it a discussion together?
I think we were both. I was still on board. It's sort of like when your worst fear comes true.
Right.
You're able to move on.
Right.
It's always the not knowing, you know. Yeah. So sort of it's not worse. Knowing if I'm going to get cancer or.
So, it's like, oh, so this is what having cancer
is
like.
Yeah, so it happened. I got sick. I got better. And then we were ready to move on.
What I love about this was the embracing life part. And for Jennifer and Lisa, absolutely. I mean, it was like that whole, can we just get on with our lives? Like, let's, you know, like enough of all this, let's just, but there's something about embracing life for me, that really speaks to me because I'm such a catastrophic the world is ending kind of person.
You anyway. Really are. You really
I
are.
Really am. And so it was so, it was just like,
I mean, I don't know if we really talked about it in our episode, but that was like a key reason she didn't want to have kids is because of the coal. We were running out of coal.
Don't listen to NPR if you're pregnant.
People. We had an NPR ban in our house during, because she was like, the whole world is ending. Why should you bring a child?
Oil. It was peak oil.
I always make it coal.
Yeah.
And it was like, why would bring a child into the world when we're running out of, like, all we're not going to be able to have light.
It's going to be, okay, bananas, chocolate, coffee, all these things are going to end in our lifetimes. Stop. I'm just saying
so
that
right Mary, I can't hang out.
I put a ban on NPR during my pregnancy in the house. Because we used to, like, when you, remember before you had kids and you had time, we used to, like, listen to NPR in the morning, in the bathroom while we got ready. Like, isn't people that, without like, kids.
Remember those days?
No.
No, we listened to Storybots.
Go ahead.
No, it was like a really great reminder to me of embracing life like we created life. That's what we did. Like we created lives. We've created people and embracing life. And I love that as a reminder.
And I love that you just said that because it's so true. They were dealing with a death. Full disease.
Not just that, but also her dad died. Like, yes. So her dad died. There was
multiple cancers.
They were dealing
with
death,
two different types of cancer.
They created life. From
that's like, interesting. Yeah.
Very much like a phoenix. Like
phoenix from the ashes. Mm. Exactly.
From Harry Potter.
There's a Nani DeFranco song about that.
I have to make it gay.
Right, well,
I feel like we should talk about. I mean, are you open to talking about, like, you experienced a death during our season?
I sure did, guys.
And it was a serious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a crazy year for the Kelton Woods clan. It's been a crazy year. Yeah. So, after Orion was, my dad's been sick, had been sick for a while. Like, my dad had cancer, but it never really seemed very serious.
Yeah, well, he had the most curable cancer. Yeah. Like he had the cancer that men would want to get. It's if you have to get cancer. Yeah,
prostate.
So it's supposed to be perfect and fine.
He had had it for 4 years, and you know they did the radiation years ago, and he's been living his life like normal.
They say with prostate that like you can have cancer and live to be 80.
Right.
My dad had it.
And die from something totally unrelated.
Completely fine.
Right. So, and it wasn't serious, and it never seemed serious, and my dad is a really avid outdoorsman and like he's like Indiana Jones, you know, West Coast. I don't know, like he's like,
but with a San Fran vibe.
He's like, yeah, San Francisco Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I mean, like he's got his Ziploc bag of granola and raisins and nuts, you know. Like,
of course,
and
he does.
Okay, let's go.
And his pocket knife at all times. But yeah, so he had been struggling, not struggling. He just had that. It was just a thing that, you know, oh yeah, dad has prostate cancer. And maybe we had a laugh about it sometimes, you know, like it wasn't anything. Mm-hmm. And then while I was pregnant, it started to get a little more serious. Doctors were getting a little alarmed and, you know, we have to figure out what we're going to do. And then he went in for an appointment while I was pregnant and it had spread. And it had spread everywhere, basically. It was in his liver. And so I was like 8 months pregnant at this point. And they said, all right, well, we're going to try chemo. But it's everywhere. And my dad still, though, didn't really feel sick. So, like, we were taking it seriously and it was a hard blow, but it still wasn't like, I really didn't
think. It's not a reality. It doesn't feel real right. When they seem normal.
Right. And he was fine. He was
still. Yeah, he felt fine. So also sailing. In Ken's world, like, I'm fine. Like, let's not necessarily do the chemo. Let's go sailing because.
Right. Right. Like, he also said, I feel good. So can we put off the chemo for 3 weeks because I want to take this sailing trip, you know? Because he is a one-man sailor. He likes to sail his boat. So it wasn't, didn't seem serious. And then Orion was born and my dad couldn't fly out because he was too sick. And my mom came and then my mom had to like go back quickly because things were like just going downhill.
Escalating, yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know. So Orion was born in November and then in April, he was getting worse and worse. And then my mom called me. And then my mom called me.
We flew out.
We
went out there.
Our therapist, actually. I had been talking about it with our therapist. We go to couples therapy.
Another shout out to couples therapy. We've been talking about it in interviews. We just talked about that.
So our therapist I was talking about it and talking about it, and it's looking worse and worse. And my therapist said, well, why don't you go out and see him and take the baby? The baby was like 2 months at this point, 3 months.
We had a break coming up in February, and so we got his shots early. So Jamie and he flew out the week before the February school break.
The therapist convinced me to do it.
It was my idea.
It was your idea, but I was
doesn't that always happen in marriages, by the way?
And then I brought it to the therapist, and the therapist said the words that I couldn't put my finger on. She's like, well, what if you don't go?
Right. She put it in a really good perspective. And so I went with Orion, and he was able to meet Orion, and Anne and Rose came out later in the week because they had off
the next
school.
Week.
Yeah. Oh, I came for 2 weeks. And my dad was still up and about and tired, but still didn't seem it still. And my mother was just like hopelessly like, no, we're going to get through this. And she's, researching all this stuff. And then, so my dad gets to meet the baby, and then
It's nice he got to meet the baby. That was very similar with my dad.
Yeah.
Like, he got to meet Henry.
Yeah, he got to meet.
Which I was happy about.
You know, and he said, that's a handsome kid, you know. And
that's a handsome fella.
Basically my memory.
He's a good-looking fella.
That's a good thing he's good-looking. You know.
He is good-looking. Mary is in love with your baby, by the way.
Me too. Totally. He's a good baby. But so then we come back, and then my mom called me at the end of March and said, I think you need to come out.
It was Easter.
Easter. I think you need to come. I booked my flight, and then that night my mom called me and said, your dad stopped breathing. Ugh. And I was going to go the next day. So.
Yeah, it was just a shock. Like, it's, you know, like, I know it always is. Like, you know it's coming. But
you're never prepared for that moment.
We didn't really know it was coming. Mm-mm. Like, he went from February walking around and sitting at dinner with us and
joking,
talking about stuff. And then to the end of March, March 15th, kind of okay. And then March 30th, he's entering hospice. It's like, well, what do you mean? Yeah. I get a ticket and a phone call 5 hours later that he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my dad died, and the irony, I don't know if that's the right word. The irony is not lost on me that I just birthed a son and I lost my father. Yep. And, you know, it makes me think of that episode, the Jenna and Linda episode. Five parents, two kids. I think that's what we named it. Because Linda went through a very similar thing. She had her son and her father passed away.
And so I was really pregnant with Nick. I was working at the New York Times, and I was going back and forth to take care of my father, who was living in Denver. Mm. And he died right before Nick was born. Oh. So I didn't get to go to his memorial service. I was
couldn't fly.
Well, I had just had Nick, actually. Oh. Then I was in labor writing his obituary.
Because
I had promised. Because I knew, you know, he was very, very ill. But I did get to see him, you know, before he died. And I just got on that plane and saw him. But it was really, really sad. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't in a good way. I decided not to return to my job because I just was not, I wasn't in good shape.
I think about them a lot. I think about Linda a lot as like inspiration to be like, okay, I can do this. I can go, I'm going to be okay. But
that's nice. That's nice. It gave you something back.
I think about Linda a lot.
Yeah.
I really do right now. It's crazy.
I hope you're
call
listening,
her.
Linda.
I know, Linda. Invite me over.
You're not invited.
And not when
I
do
that.
By
the way, on a slight change of conversation, you know who also is obsessed with Linda is our son Henry.
Oh, really?
From that weekend, she made a connection with him about fly fishing and fishing. And anytime fishing comes up, he goes, you know who we should tell about this? Linda. And Mary's sister's name is Linda, so we'll be like, TT? And he's like, no, Linda. Linda with the what's that other one's name? Janet? And we're always like, Jana! And like, he only has so eyes funny. For Linda.
Does fishing come up a lot in your house? Because it never comes up in ours.
Ever since meeting Linda, fishing has come up a lot. Like, we were at his birthday dinner at IHOP, and he was like, we should tell Linda about that.
That's so funny. Well, you know, Linda comes up, she must have that ability with people, but she's coming up in my head a lot, just because I'm going through something, and it's a unique experience. And, you know, we're two women raising a boy, and I just lost the most important male figure in my life. And the irony is not lost on me. I don't know what I'm going to take away from that, but
well, you're just going to, you're probably just going to go forward.
It's a big moment in my life.
Yeah.
Our lives.
Yeah. And then, you know, like on another note, like Orion has no idea what's going on, but explaining to a 4-year-old that, you know, Rose called him Skipper because he was a sailor. So Ken was
But he couldn't be the captain. No, I was never a captain, so you can't call me a captain, but you can call me Skipper.
Official, very official. So he was Skipper. Like, you know, so I'm with Rose before because Jamie went out to San Fran early with Orion, and then I stayed with Rose because she had school. Then we took her out of school to go, and before we went, I was explaining to Rose that Skipper had died, and my aunt had died in September. And to make light of it,
we're not laughing about that.
We're not laughing about that. I love you, Aunt.
We're never.
But Rose's
no offense to your dad,
Rose's response when I told her that we'd bought a couple of books to get Rose.
By the way, thank God for books for every hard moment.
Well, that's
in our
a whole nother podcast. We'll tell you about those books next time.
But I gave Rose, I told Rose, I'm like, well, we're going out. I told you that Skipper was sick, but actually Skipper died. And Rose goes, oh man, that's two dead people.
She said, now we have two
dead
people.
Now we have two dead people. Eileen's dead and Skipper's dead. I was like, you know, yes.
I really don't think they have the ability or the like to like put it, like, do you remember when our cat died? we had a 19-year-old Persian who was this just delightful cat named Sam, and we had to put her down, and we came back and we were like just, you know, sad and walking through a deli, and Maxine goes, and she was 4, so about the same age as Rose, and we were in a deli, and she goes, hey, there's cat food, but we don't need it because Sam's dead. And we were just like, and there was like that moment where we thought, is her child a serial killer?
Yeah.
Because you're just kind of like, does she not have empathy? Like, but she's 4. Like,
four.
Like she was trying to process it, you know, in a way that like, so she was like, there's a one dead person and now there's another, you know, they're putting it in compartments.
But when we told Rose, she went in her room and got this thing, and it was like,
what
it was a little figurine, and she came out with it, and she's like, well, this is what I remember Eileen with. And it was something that she took from Aunt Eileen's apartment. And she's like, so when we go to San Francisco, I need to bring something back to remember Skipper.
Oh my God, I love that.
So she does, she like gets it and doesn't get it. Obviously she's 4, so she's not.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. Honestly, like just sitting here right now, my takeaway is that, I mean, I've known Robin and Mary for a long time. Yeah. So, I mean, and we used to hang out, like never really hung out a lot or a ton, but it's nice seeing you guys again more often and hang out and just being in that.
We've created like a new little community.
Two worlds collide.
Yeah. And it's funny. Well, it's fun that you and Jamie are so close. Like, it's just weird how circles of people work and people like fade in and out of your life, you know, not necessarily for negative or positive reasons, but people come and flow. And it's just, it was funny to me in the beginning when you guys first started like texting and calling and everything. And it was like,
you're like, is Robin on the phone? Let's do it again. Like, what's happening?
It was weird, but it is really nice.
You have a lot of business.
It was weird, I think, for you too. When I came to you and I was like, I think Robin would probably be good for this podcast. Remember when I said that to you and you were like, okay.
Who?
Robin from like, from Family Gay?
From the person you see once a year?
I know, literally.
Yeah. We just talked about this in our interview.
I did say, yes.
Yeah.
We just talked about this in our interview with After Ellen. Yeah. She asked us how we met or how long we knew each other. And we were both like, not that well before we were like, we were kind of like, we saw each other once a year at a picnic and she said, let's do this. I said, let's do this. And then all of a sudden there's a hotline on my phone to like, I have things I have to discuss with Jamie. And I hit the button.
I mean, I actually still thought you worked at MTV. That's how out of, you know, like we, how.
I don't still work there.
Yes.
You know, in case the government's listening.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I don't know.
Because the government listens. Well, my anecdote for the season is, so we had Brian Esser on, the lawyer and one of our lawyers that we spoke to this season, and he talked about a bunch of stuff, and we got him through another listener, which I thought was like it was like our first like stepping out of our circle of people and getting somebody on as a guest who was a friend of a friend or a friend of a listener. And he texted, not texted, he tweeted And he tweeted recently that every Monday, it's not Monday if he's not listening to If These Ovaries Could Talk. And his husband was like making fun of him for that. And I just thought, there's this gay man out there who's listening to us talk about ovaries and eggs and non-traditional families every Monday morning while he gets his little suit on. And I love that.
I love it. And we're going to be getting to know him better, too, because we're going to be adopting our kids with him.
Please do that.
We are. We're in emails, but we can't get our lives together and figure out.
Can we set the goal that you'll be en route for the top of season two?
Yeah, and we can talk about it.
Okay.
I think, you know, I think for me, I think that I am shocked at how, at all the good responses we're getting. I'm not I'm pleasantly surprised at all the people who are coming to us and saying, I'm so glad you guys are doing this. I love hearing these stories. These stories remind me of me. Mm-hmm. I've never heard myself in a story like this. And I'm just so pleasantly surprised and happy that that now this is finally out there and
touching a nerve.
Yes. And it's touching a nerve and people needed to hear this.
Yep.
People really needed to hear these stories because we're totally just normal people.
Well, but you hear that all the time when people talk about television, like they get upset when they don't, like how often were we like, if there was a single gay character even hinted at, yeah. we were watching that series.
Oh, totally.
Because we didn't see ourselves reflected in the media. We didn't see ourselves. And this is just another extension of that, is people being able to see their new families, their non-traditional families, which aren't necessarily, other than modern family, aren't reflected in the media.
And identify with it.
Yeah.
I hope that next season you guys get a single mom on. Because I would be very interested to hear the choices that, you know, that they made, like, in their desire.
Like single mom by choice, you mean?
Yeah, single mom.
Do you care if it's a lesbian or not?
No. I don't think it matters. Why would
that matter? No, it's still a non-traditional family, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, I'm like, what specifically?
It's just like to choose... I mean, you know, it's like if you go to a bar and oops, I got pregnant. It's like, that's not really.
That's
interesting in a different kind of way.
Make a choice.
Yeah. But I mean, that's actually not so non-traditional. That's called all of the 90s.
Right.
At our daughter's school, there's a single dad by choice.
Really?
Yeah. I learned about him yesterday at the birthday party.
How does that work?
Same way, I guess.
Did he like adopt?
I don't know the details. We just found out that there's a. Another two moms in Rose's grade, and then they told us that there's a single dad, a gay man, single.
Oh, he's gay.
Just decided.
Well, yeah. And he wanted to have a baby. He was not at the party. He's another general.
All right, listen, on the off season, during your downtime, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to get him lined up for season two.
Well, maybe Rose will be in his class next year because they'll switch. I didn't think you were really going to add this.
Oh, no, we're adding it.
Well, that part. Like, maybe Rose will be in his class next year.
I mean, listen, or her class. Do whatever it takes to get him on our podcast. You want us to succeed?
I'll call the school tomorrow.
You want us to succeed.
All right. Well, listen, this has been, I mean, first of all, like, I want to say thank you to Anne and Mary for just supporting us for the season.
Yes.
And because without your support, we certainly, the season wouldn't have been as successful. So thank you. Baby
Marianne. You know, we are intentional families and we're staying together.
Whether you guys like it or not.
And it's beautiful and you guys are supporting us and it's great.
I want to patent the beautiful drinking game for season two. People, when they listen to the podcast, every time that Jamie says beautiful, should drink.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a lot on their morning commute.
Maybe they can save it for the nighttime. Just put, you know.
It's so funny.
I mean, but I don't know. I don't know what you're proud of, but I would say, like, I mean, I feel like we accomplished a lot. We're on our way to hitting 100,000 downloads in season one.
We are. Thanks for listening, guys.
Interviewed an After Ellen. We have that feature that's coming out. It'll probably have come out by the time this happens. Mm-hmm. Spoke.
The amazing app that actually helps you find podcasts based on your interests. I use it. I love Spoke.
Yeah.
So.
The Daily Dot did a story on us. Like, I feel like, I mean, we were Apple Podcast new and noteworthy.
We sure were.
I mean, I feel like we nailed Seals at season
one. Broadway of podcasts. That's how I describe it.
Is that how you describe it?
Yes.
I describe it as the place you get your podcast.
No, we were on the Broadway.
We were on the Broadway? Do you say the Broadway or we just Broadway. Like Broadway?
No, I say we were on the Broadway. People might be annoyed by that, but it's my funny way of saying
it. I wouldn't be annoyed by it. It's just...
Anywho, we've done some good stuff. And we've got people who are listening, and thank you for listening.
Seriously, thank you to everyone who listened because, you know, it just, we're happy it landed, and we're happy that you enjoyed it. And it, I would love to hear from people, mm-hmm. any ideas for season two, because we will be like banking some episodes in
the next,
you know,
couple months.
September. So, you know, just send us ideas.
We're going to start working on season two, and we want new stuff, new families, new ideas. Mm-hmm. What else do you guys want to hear about?
Yeah.
And some people have already reached out and told us
what they
want to
hear. Yeah, and we're taking notes.
Yeah, totally. We want to get as many people on here as we can, as many stories as we can.
So we'll be back around the top of October. So we would just want to say thank you, guys. Mm-hmm. And it's been a great season one.
And please continue reaching out. We're still going to be on the social. So.
We are. We're going to be active. We're going to be active because, I mean, what else are we going to be doing? Right. We have all this free time now.
But yeah, we're on Facebook at If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Sure.
We're on Instagram at @ovaries_talk.
You got this, Jamie.
And we're on Twitter at @ovariestalk.
She has all the things.
The whole season went through it, and that's the first time I did all three.
You did
of
it. And you can email us where, Jamie?
That's the social.
You could do it. You could do it.
Ovariestalk@gmail.com.
She did it.
I did it.
She
totally
did,
it.
She got them all. Mm-hmm. All right.
So, yeah.
Is it time? Season one.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
We did it.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.